Right. I'll do the same with your phone.
Yeah, thanks.
All right.
Okay. Thanks, WDay, for coming.
Hey.
Do you want to go through who you are, where you're from, who you play for, and stuff like that?
Yeah, absolutely. My name is Davide Leonardi. I'm from Rome in Italy, and I play for Chrome Kendama. I've been sponsored by Chrome for 5 years, and I've been playing for 8 years now.
Yeah, okay. 8 years, so 2015 is when you started?
Yeah. I was 13 years old back then.
13?
Now I'm 21. Yeah.
Okay. You kind of told me about this yesterday, but how did you get started in Kendama? It was...
Yeah, actually, I discovered Kendama at my old school. I attended in a Steiner school, which follows a specific pedagogy of teaching to kids, which really works on the development of the kid through like different artistic laboratories, like pottery, woodworking, gardening. And we also had a juggling course, like a juggling class.
Yeah.
And the teacher actually had a kendama.
Okay.
It wasn't like the main thing.
Yeah.
But I think it's really cool that already when I was like a kid, and all the people that I was studying with, they will like already have like an approach to kendama to like develop the coordination and balance.
Yeah.
I mean, we had like a lot of other exercises,
but
I think it's really nice that they do it.
Yeah. Well, did you start really being part of the community and posting on Instagram?
No, back then I actually didn't really get into it. After a few years that I left my school, I saw it in a shop and I just bought it.
Okay.
And I instantly got super addicted to it. I was like, oh yeah, this is like the game we had at my school. Like, I need to get it.
Yeah.
And then I got it. And eventually I've been practicing like every day since then. But for the first year, I didn't know there was a community at all.
Right.
So I would just like play in my room, maybe like 15 or 20 minutes by myself. And I guess at that point I got some cool tricks. But I didn't really get deep and I didn't really see any like kendama videos or anything.
Yeah.
So at some point, my mom called me and she was like, Davide, like, take your bike and come as soon as possible to this spot. And I was like, wait, what's going on? And she was like, just come, you're going to love it. And I actually loved it. It was like 30 kendama players just like seshing and like, you know, practicing. And I went there and like stood at them for like maybe 30 minutes. And then one of the guys just came over and was like, hey, like, do you want to try? And I was like, I actually have one. And he was like, what, bro? You could have just come and, like, sat with us. And then eventually the guys were so welcoming in the kendama community. They were like, you know, teach me a lot of tricks since the first day. And since then, it just, like, got super addicted and, you know, never stopped.
Are any of those guys that you first saw, are they still playing? Like, do you remember any of the
teams? Yeah. I mean, at that point in Italy, we had a really, really strong kendama community.
Yeah.
But most of the people are still playing right now.
Okay. So they still remember their first time coming and to see how good you are now? And
Yeah. I mean, they definitely remember. And most of them are, like, still super supportive.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, dude, that's so cool. I saw you went to, like, Tokyo and do the world championship. And I'm like, yeah. That's, you know, it, like, partly it's really thank for them that they, like, you know, made me really passionate and taught me a lot of tricks. And then motivated to like practice even more and like get better.
Yeah. I don't know many people in the Italian scene. I wish we went to stop in the tour there. We didn't. Mm-hmm. But I can think of the person that ran the last event. I think it was a woman.
Yeah, Julia.
Julia.
Yeah. She's doing amazing for the kendama community. She had organized an amazing comp in Bergamo.
Okay.
The Kendama Italia Open with the help of... two more guys, Andrea and Marco, and it was really, really amazing comp. I think more than maybe 80 or 100 people came. Yeah, that was really amazing. That was a big success.
And then who else is there? I think is the one dude, I think, with like short, like buzz blonde hair. Is he Italian?
Yeah, that guy's actually from Rome.
Okay.
He's like the guy I'll like practice basically every week with.
What's his name?
Jonathan.
Okay.
Onino is
I never met him, but I saw him at EKC.
Yeah, that guy's like sponsored by DAO and has such a unique style.
Oh, DAO, yeah, that's
yeah,
right.
DAO Regions.
Who else is in the Italian's kendama scene, like the most prominent figures?
Antonino from Sorrento, which is really nearby Napoli.
Okay.
He's sponsored by Shardama, which is a handmade, hand-turned kendama company in Rome, in Italy, in Sardinia, actually. And he's really, really talented. And then, I mean, there is actually a lot. We had Giuseppe Guttoriello is another really, really amazing player from Rome. He has one of the sickest, like, penguin tricks ever. Okay. Like, he's so insane. And then, well, the whole Shardama team is, like, really, really good.
Yeah.
There's Simone, Davide. It's so many good players. Yeah. I'm the only pro, I'll say. But maybe Jonel and Antonino are, like, almost on the same level.
Yeah.
Like, if you will have a game of Ken, I will definitely, like, get some letters. They're so insane.
Yeah. So, what was your first event?
My first event was Kendama Attack. That has been a really big Kendama competition in Rome. And one of the guy who was really working on the community, his name is Dario Patti. Okay. He was like organizing it. And we had a lot of Kendama players over back then.
Yeah.
Like Rolf came, Tio came, Timothy, and like a lot of more players. And I was actually hosting one guy. That was only after 1 year I started playing Kendama. And I hosted this guy, his name was Kuba, and then eventually after like 2 months we had an event in Poland where he was from and I just sent it.
Okay.
And I was just like 14 back then. Yeah. So that was like my first trip alone to a Kendama competition. That was really cool. Yeah.
So that was your first one, and then what are the biggest events that you've been to?
I've been to Catch and Flow twice.
Okay.
Last year and 2019. And then I went to European Kendama Championship 3 times.
Okay.
And then, I mean, since I got a sponsorship from Con Kendama, I think I went to literally every single European Kendama competition.
Yeah.
Like Damarama, Kenfest, like Kendama Italian Open, like literally anything.
Yeah. Have you been to the States?
I haven't been to the States for a Kendama competition yet.
Okay. Yeah.
I've been to the States, but never for a Kendama competition. But I'm really, really looking forward.
Yeah. Maybe battle next year or something. NAK was online, but maybe battle at the border next year or something.
Yeah, battle at the border or, I don't know. Let's see how it goes.
Yeah.
But I'm definitely looking forward, like, meeting the Kendama community in the US because it looks so insane.
Yeah.
It's, like, actually so cool.
Yeah. So what was the Catch and Flow like? Did you go last year?
Yeah, I did go last year and it was absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
It was, I mean, for me, it's one of the best competition in the world for sure.
Yeah.
Before the last AKC, which was basically a game changer, I think it was definitely the best for me. Like, the stage is just so good. And, I mean, it's a little more like, just like competition.
Yeah. At AKC or Catch and Flow?
No, I'm talking about Catch and Flow.
Yeah.
Catch and Flow is like kind of all about the competition.
Yeah.
But it's really, really dope. The level is insane. The light is like perfect.
Yeah.
And I mean, for me, freestyle is like the best category in Kendama. Like, it's my favorite.
Yeah.
So for me to see all of the best, you know, freestyle player out there, like just watching them in 4K, it is so good.
Yeah. I think how I categorize you, playing Kendama, and I think how most people do, is very flowy and freestyle-y. Like, I'm thinking of Instagram clips that I've seen, or just you playing in person, and you're extremely consistent. You have creative tricks. You're on, like, a Bonzatron type vibe, more than, like, a Tablex grind for a tapping type vibe. Is that how you would categorize yourself to characterize your playing?
Absolutely. I mean, absolutely. I actually haven't grind a single trick for the last 2 years.
Yeah.
I don't know if like the Kendama community is going to kill me for saying this, but I've literally just like played freestyle for the last 2 years.
Okay.
For me, it's just so much more fun playing freestyle rather than like grind a single trick for hours.
Yeah.
And it just, you know, gives me so much more joy to just like have fun with it. And like, even though I don't put like super crazy hard tricks in it, it's just so much more fun.
So how often do you play Kendama? How often do you practice?
Like, every day.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, last time I grind a trick, it was, I think, 2 years ago, and that was the hardest trick I've ever done in my life.
Yeah.
That was the border balance, blow back to border balance.
Okay.
Insane.
Yeah.
And after that one took me, like, 7 or 8 hours, I think. That was so hard. And also, it was like a lot of blowing, so sometimes I would like get hectic and like I'll have to take breaks and shit. But after that, I think something just clicked and I was like, yeah, bro, you can chill now. It's fine.
Okay.
And after that, after like five or six months, I was going to Catch and Flow.
Yeah.
So for before Catch and Flow, I started practicing like 2 hours a day.
Wow.
And that was like the hardest, you know, practice I ever had.
Yeah.
It was like for 1 month or like 1 month and a half, I practiced like 2 hours of freestyle.
Okay.
And at that point, I like really developed something and I was like, wow, like I feel like I can basically think of a trick and like kind of put it in it. Like even if it's not like a 10 tap or like a triple late, like if I just think about something I can do, I'll be like, yeah, I can do it like next step.
Yeah.
And then I'll like start like actually having a lot of fun with like connecting different like tricks.
Yeah.
And since then I like never stopped playing freestyle. Like I will just pick up my kendama and start freestyling.
Yeah. And how do you define freestyling? I know it's kind of a hard word to define, but like how would you put that into words, what you do?
Freestyle? Freestyle is basically connecting all the tricks you have with your unique flow and style.
Yeah.
Because it's not about... For me, like, recording a trick has always been like, okay, like, this is my level.
Yeah.
And I'm going to grind a trick, which is like this level.
Yeah.
Like, you're not... When I was filming kendama tricks, I would not go for something that I had already. Yeah. I would go for something much higher.
Yeah.
But doing freestyle for me is just like, yeah, like this is my level and I'm going to do this level and just like have fun with it. And eventually when you like play your level, it's not like you're staying still because like you're still playing and you'll like
get better
at it. But at the same time, it's like much, much less pressure on you.
Okay. So the freestyling is like doing the tricks that you already know versus doing a brand new trick.
Yeah.
But you're still learning new tricks?
Yes. Yeah, of course. Because sometimes I like see people and like get like really inspired and I'm like, yeah, I can do this concept in this line.
Yeah.
For sure. But I don't really think it in advance. I'm like, oh yeah, I had this in mind, let me try it.
Okay.
And yeah, eventually I think sometimes I get it. Yeah. But of course I took a lot of inspiration from like Bonds.
Yeah.
And we traveled a lot together. For me, his style was like the best.
Yeah.
So I was like always like looking and like trying to teach from him and learn from him. And so yeah, I think it's also because of him that I just like do freestyle.
Yeah. What is that your biggest inspiration, you think, throughout kendama is Bonds?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And what about Bonds is inspirational for you, and what about Bonds like makes you motivated?
Yeah. I mean, when I first started kendama, I would like watch kendama co videos.
Yeah.
Bonds was definitely like the craziest one to like play kendama. So I would like watch all his videos, and eventually like when I met him in person, he was so much better than what I saw through the videos.
Yeah.
Like he was like insane. He came to Rome once because he was doing like a Euro tour, and watching him in real life was just so insane. Like he would do the same that I am doing right now. Like, he would just, like, play freestyle.
Yeah, all the time.
Basically, yeah. Unless he was, like, recording, like, something specific, he would just, like, flow. Yeah. Like, he would just, like, flow with, like, cool tricks.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is so cool. Yeah. Like, he has such a crazy control. And even if the tricks he does... I mean, most of the tricks were, like, insane. But even, like, the easiest trick, he will do them with such a steeze and, like... Mm. Flow movements, and I was like, wow,
yeah,
that is like really cool. Yeah. And then we went together to Catch and Flow, and he was like up, I mean he was a little drunk, but so I think he messed it up at some point, but the year before he like won it, so he was still like really honed and like he was killing it, of course. But he watching him in real life was like absolutely like devastating, but also like really motivating though.
Yeah, it's really interesting trying to put freestyle into words because it's really easy to see, and I can see it and I love it like just by me thinking about it, but like it's kind of unique where some players, even though they do a freestyle competition, they're not necessarily freestyling. Like Alex Mitchell comes to mind, And of course, he's a very, very top freestyle competitor. But like, and Nick Gallagher too, they're kind of doing more individual tricks in their freestyle yeah. run versus the art of freestyling, which yeah. is more free and more like, what would you call, like, in the moment, impromptu, yeah. you yeah, know? Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, would you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I think the different approach that we have is that they try, like, tricks.
Yeah.
And I don't know, like, they try, like, really, really hard tricks while freestyling, which I respect, like, it's so insane.
Yeah.
Like, I could never do that.
Yeah.
But the way I do freestyle, it's a little different.
Yeah.
I just play with it, and I don't have, like, I won't just try to go, like, tabs and, like, blades. Yeah, yeah. I'll just, like, flow with it, which for me means maybe going a little easier.
Yeah.
But as soon as you get in that zone, you can, like, definitely, like, add some, like, really hard cool. concepts and, like,
yeah.
you know, some difficulties to it.
So it's kind of getting into a certain mindset.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's freestyle.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's really hard to, it's really hard to, like, to explain to people who don't know what
yeah.
freestyle means. For me, it's just, like, really feel connected to the kendama and, like, know what your limits are and, like, what you can do.
Yeah.
And then just, like, try to get one trick. And then eventually, as soon as you're done with one trick, for me, like, the next one just locks. It's like, oh, yeah, now I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm going for a juggle and I'm just going to go, like, yeah, let me go for a light out, maybe
yeah.
double flip. And then, I don't know. And
yeah.
then everything just, like, flows, you know?
Yeah. It's really, really cool. Yeah, it's very
yeah.
in the moment, you know? And you can feel
yeah.
that when you watch freestyle kendama artists like you and Bonds and Soma. Who do you think are, like, the top freestylists in kendama?
Well, it's been Bonds for sure till a few years. Now it's definitely Yazu.
Yeah.
Yazu, Soma. Damn, it's hard because I think the freestyle scene is not that developed yet.
No.
I think most of the people will, like, still grind tricks and, like, wouldn't really, like, practice freestyle.
Yeah.
So I think there is, like, a really few players. I'm not saying the other players don't do well in freestyle.
Right.
Because all the, like, most of the pros are, like, really good in freestyle because they're, like,
yeah.
good at kendama. But for the people who, like, actually play freestyle, I think the best are, like, it's definitely, like, Yasu.
Yeah.
So, well, the high receipts.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. Like, high receipts are, like, just
kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I've never really thought about or talked about kind of doing these two groups of kendama where it's, like, freestyle and then normal or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's really interesting. Have you thought about these kind of two branches of kendama for a while? Like, two different styles of playing?
I mean, for me, it's always been, like, different in a way.
Yeah.
Like, it's weird that for me it just feels weird that it's, like, the same players doing competition in both categories.
Mm.
For example, in skateboard, like, you wouldn't see, like, a guy doing maybe ramps competition and at the same time doing, like, streets competition.
Yeah.
So I think we didn't get to that point where, like, kendama is, like, that deep that players either do, like, open or freestyle.
Yeah.
But I'm not saying that it's gonna be like that or I wish it was like that. I really like the kendama community as it is right
yeah.
now and, like, how competition flow right now. But I am just saying that I can definitely imagine a future where, like, you're either a, you know, a freestyle player or
yeah.
an open player. But it's not necessarily like that. I don't know.
I feel
what
like maybe the best categories are KWC versus Catch and Flow, you know? Because KWC is, like, the best of the top tricks as fast as you can, execute properly,
yeah.
clean, and then Catch and Flow, the way that the vibe is set up with the music and the tricks. Like, it is funny how there are players, if you watch a few different runs, like Nick and Alex, they do some freestyle creative elements, but they can definitely win a freestyle competition, but it's a
yeah.
different style than other players,
yeah.
you know? Other freestyle players.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Would you say that this is, so your idea of kind of freestyle versus open, is that from skateboarding?
Not really.
Okay.
No, not really. I wouldn't say that.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Like, I think there is, like, really a few players that actually, like, practice freestyle.
Yeah.
And I think in the future we can actually see players who are only gonna, like, play freestyle just for fun and then do well in, like, freestyle competition.
Yeah.
This is what I meant. Mm-hmm. I think I didn't really express myself well before, but I think freestyle, even though it's, like, the for me is really only a few people, like, actually playing freestyle in their room.
Mm.
And, you know, the freestyle world, even though it's, like, the sickest competition and, like, the one who gets more hype, I think, as we saw at, like, AKC, like, the freestyle competition was definitely the most, you know, attended and, like, where the people were, like, actually, like, hyped on it. I mean, versus Open, which is still really insane and, like, super hype.
But it's more for the crowd. It's for the performance and it's the hypeness that freestyle, that's what you're saying, that has an advantage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what I was saying is that freestyle is not that developed yet.
Yeah.
But I think in the future I can definitely see, and I hope there will be more people actually practicing freestyle in their room.
Yeah.
And then actually develop what is, like, freestyle.
Yeah.
Which is already developed right now, but for what I've seen, most of the runs were just, like, single tricks.
Yeah.
I mean, there were some really good, like, runs at AKC from people that I'm not sure they will, like, practice freestyle at home.
Yeah.
Because I know they don't, and I've talked with them. Like, for example, Chris Gunn.
Yeah.
He, like, Chris Gunn. Yeah, he did, like, some really, really cool runs. And when I talked with him, like, 5 minutes before, it was like, yeah, I've never, like, really practiced freestyle.
Individual tricks that you're consistent at, and then you can together.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really, really interesting. How do you practice freestyle?
I just pick up my kendama and start playing. Sometimes I even, like, start with, like, cups.
Yeah.
And then spike, and then I just maybe go for a whirlwind, and then I just, like, go for a juggle.
Yeah, but
it's just like that.
Yeah.
Just go for one trick.
Like,
and then,
but I feel like if I could do cups in a whirlwind in a way where you'd be like, oh, you're not really freestyling, because I can imagine when you do it, I don't know if it's, like, the one word to describe it is knees. But, like, you just have your knees in it, and you're just really, like, quick between tricks, you know? And I feel like, I don't want to, like, put words in your mouth, but any level can freestyle, right? Like, you get, that's what's kind of cool about it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
This is why I think, like, freestyle can actually be the future of kendama.
Yeah.
Because grinding tricks is, like, super good, but for me, as always, like, put a lot of pressure on myself.
Yeah.
But, for example, the people who are starting kendama right now in Rome, and they, like, started because of me, they, like, all freestyle player.
Yeah.
Which is kind of crazy, but they're having so much fun with it.
Yeah.
Like, even they will go for, like, maybe cups. They wouldn't just go, like, cup, small cup. They'll just go, like, big cup, small cup, spike up. And then they'll just, like, kind of have much more fun with it.
Yeah. That's really cool.
Yeah, I think it's really good. Like, you don't really have to be a pro to play freestyle.
No.
Because everybody that has been into kendama for 1 or 2 months can, like, maybe do Lido's flip.
Yeah.
And even a Lido's flip can be freestyle.
Yeah.
If you do it in a certain way that it's, like, looking cool and, like, flowy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's super cool. I'm really happy that we're talking about this.
Yeah. I think there's one more thing. I mean, of course at AKC we saw Yasuo just absolutely going nuts.
Yeah.
But I think that it doesn't really matter the, like, how difficult the tricks that you do in freestyle are. Like, to do a cool line, you just, like even though the level is, like, different.
Yeah.
If you give your best in freestyle, and another guy that is maybe better than you, like, will give the best too, like, it's still, it can be tight, you know?
Mm.
Because, I don't know where I'm going with saying
this. No, I hear you. Because Yasuo's doing a 6-tap, which is just a normal 6-tap, but he's doing it in a way that's different. Is that what you're trying to say? Kind of, like, you can still grind for a trick and then maybe put that into your run?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's, clearly, like, you...
Yeah. A 6-tap, you don't want to practice that trick while you're doing your full freestyle run. That's a trick that you kind of, it's just more productive to practice on its own.
Yeah.
Or like tapping on its own, or maybe a certain, if you want to put a border in your freestyle run and you don't have borders, then it's, you, even you would still practice a certain trick, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I still practice.
Yeah.
But I think for me, freestyle, it's all about how you do the tricks rather than what tricks you do. Mm-hmm. This is what I meant.
Yeah, it's how you do the tricks.
Yeah.
You're not like landing it and then spiking it. You're
yeah.
Yeah.
Because freestyle is not about like, I don't know. For me, freestyle is not about like single tricks.
Yeah.
So yeah, like a freestyle run that has like maybe 10 insane tricks on it, it's still cool.
Yeah.
But if you go for like four tap juggle down spike, and then it's all about how you do the tricks rather than like how difficult they are.
Yeah.
Like, of course, like high trick are gonna like count a lot of points and get a lot of crowd. But it's, even though you don't have like the, I can't quite remember what I'm saying, honestly.
What's been like the most impressive freestyle run that you've ever seen? Was it at UKC this year?
It was probably AKC this year.
Was it Yasu?
Yeah, it was Yasu.
Was it, which, do you remember what run specifically?
I think the one against Rudney from Seoul was like my favorite.
Yeah, why is that?
Because it was really cool to see how everything that Rudney did on stage, which was unusual.
Yeah.
Like Yasu would just like take it and like do it.
It's a really good...
Like much... Sorry, but like much better than
you
did. Yeah. Like in just like a crazy, like it was just insane. But I think this is something that it's really cool about Yasu, that he like really sees what the opponent does.
Yeah.
And then he will like do the same tricks the next round, which is like kind of like, how do you call it? Like hip hop battles will work.
Oh.
Yeah. Like, they will, like, do some, like, tricks or, like, some dances, then the opponent will, like, take inspiration and do the same thing and try to make it better.
Yeah.
I think this is, really, like, a break dance kind of thing.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
I think it's a really good way of defining freestyle to add to words to this concept of, like, Yasu obviously hadn't planned any of this, but he's using his ability and his skills and then taking some new... like variables and then kind of combining them, you know, because it's like, oh, with the Tama that he grabbed from Rudney, and you guys can watch those freestyle runs on Lotus YouTube. We have really good clips of it, but you can see the video's called the greatest freestyle run of all time. I think I named it that way, which, you know,
yeah, it makes sense.
But yeah, he grabbed Rudney's Tama, the bottle. He used the DJ stage and he kind of mixed that with his already like really crazy style.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that was really cool. But even in other runs, even against like Kaito, Kaito, I remember doing some tricks to Bird, which was still really impressive. But then I think Yasu did like six stop juggle Burn and then went in front of him and be like, yo, look at that, like I just did something so much sicker than what you just did.
Yeah.
And I mean of course Yasu is just like a goat.
Yeah.
But like it's really cool to like take inspiration from like your opponent and like, you know, try to do tricks with the same concept the way you can do them.
Yeah.
You know.
So were you inspired from that? Did you go home and practice certain things after seeing him?
Not really. Like, not really from the AKC freestyle, but just before going to Leiden together, they were actually in Rome staying at my place. So I got really, really motivated, like, playing freestyle with them and seeing how they practice freestyle, which is basically just creating a circle. And after one guy does, like, his freestyle run, as soon as he misses or, like, land a really cool trick, then the next one will go.
Okay.
And that's really, really, like, fun. For me, it's, like, the best practice I can have. Just, like, watching other pros freestyling and then doing it myself.
Yeah.
So, also, like,
not only seeing but also getting motivation from other people landing cool trick and be like, oh shit, like you did like some really, really cool trick. Like I need to, you know, land something. And so it we were probably doing it like maybe 2 hours a day, just like in our circle, just like practicing freestyle.
Yeah.
But it's not, it was not even like practice.
No. It was just having fun.
It was just having fun with our toys, honestly.
Yeah. On the tour that we've been on, we've been freestyle ciphering, which is similar to that. We all get in a circle and then everyone kind of goes around and does their freestyle. No one wins. I wish I could see them play, because even me, Marcus, and Sergi in Copenhagen, we've been doing that. Like just yesterday when we were jamming, we were doing a little freestyle cipher. Mm-hmm. And it does help to practice for freestyle, but I think watching people and somebody like the Harvest Geats, if they could just record a freestyle cipher session, would be so cool, because I think people can learn from that and I can learn from that and then really get into a good vibe. Because even like when we would go cipher at places, people were so new to that, you know, new to the concept of just like doing whatever kind of run. I mean, most of the time, which, you know, a Kanawha player will just do a really hard trick, miss, and then get out. And versus either recovering or just kind of starting easy or just bringing down their level to an ability of tricks that they can do. And I had that problem too, you know, because I'm in the mindset of more open division or Instagram bangers than freestyle.
I think this is like a really different category rather than open or like Instagram grind or edit filming grind.
Yeah.
Because it's really not about like landing a higher, like a trick that is much higher than your like normal level.
Yeah.
It's all about like knowing your limits and know what you can actually do first try.
Yeah.
And what you can connect easy to another trick.
Yeah.
And eventually just like get one, get another one. And then eventually like, you know, high up the standard every time you land a trick, you want to go a little harder, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that's the main difference between open and freestyle.
Yeah.
And the whole, because I think in a way edits right now are like open edits.
Yeah.
You know?
They really are. Yeah. And they could be freestyle edits.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You could have a big clip of somebody just going hard and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's really, really interesting. But dude, I feel like, I mean, I think maybe the way this is right now is because Kendama was thought of as like a trick toy where you just do a trick, you land it, and then you turn off your camera, and then it's developed from there. Not to say people haven't done string flow and freestyle before, but like, I feel like judges, the way that we judge Kendama is also more in tune to open style than freestyle. Because if you remember COVID at NAKO, remember when you would enter in your run? You would enter in like, you would send a video of your best run recorded.
Yeah.
And like, people didn't really, I feel like the majority of the time, people weren't really like impromptu flowing. They were like thinking of the best possible tricks. And then that's kind of what won too, is the best possible tricks. But I imagine that if judges, like if we had more judges looking at like how flowy and how they pieced together tricks more, how much more valuable that was, then maybe people would prioritize that. Players would prioritize that versus like
this,
you know?
I mean, that was like a really specific case.
Yeah.
Because it was not really about, it was not like a real like freestyle competition.
Yeah.
Because in a real freestyle competition, you have like 1:30.
Yeah.
In that case, you could like record your run. Like,
so yeah, that was like a, yeah.
So that was a like wire. I think it was a really specific case.
Yeah.
But, sorry, what was the question?
I guess I was just kind of talking about how and why Kendama has developed into this weird freestyle conundrum, you know, like,
yeah, I mean, freestyle competitions have always been there.
Yeah.
That's the thing. It's weird for me that like freestyle has never been that developed
yeah.
in like Kendama players' routine.
Like a normal, like a standard Kendama player, I think he would not like practice freestyle.
No.
Even though like freestyle and open is like the same.
Yeah.
Like the same level of at one competition, you will have like both open and freestyle most of the times.
Yeah, but I guess if you think about if you go to Instagram and go to your favorite saved clips, I don't think I have one that is a freestyle type clip that somebody uploaded. It's always been the best possible coolest trick.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I can't even think of a player. Like, I just remember your EKC video where you were showing off your practicing. You know, like, that was really cool, right? You uploaded a video of you practicing for freestyle.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to think of, like, other clips where players would do that, where they would upload a video of them, like, flowing and not completely planned. I feel like everything has just been upload a trick that you have in your mind, already preconceived, you land it, and then you post it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, most of the players, like, I think all the players are just, like, grinding tricks and just, like, posting them.
Yeah.
And before AKC, I felt a little shy to, like, share what I was actually doing, which was not grinding specific tricks, but just, like, play freestyle.
Yeah.
But after AKC, I felt, like, really motivated and, like, really felt like I was going in the right direction, just like playing freestyle, because I saw how much hype and how entertaining that was for the crowd.
Yeah.
So I was like, yeah, this is probably the best way to also make people that don't play Kendama interested in Kendama.
Yeah.
Because if you show them like a really hard trick, of course it can be like really impressive for people who don't play Kendama.
Yeah.
But watching somebody doing freestyle and maybe starting easy, where like there's, you know, showing tricks that everybody can understand, and then eventually like going harder and harder, that's probably the best way to like make people who don't play Kendama enjoy watching Kendama, and eventually getting into Kendama too, of course.
Yeah, and you have a good standing behind you, because if you look at like your views on Instagram and Bonza's views on Instagram back when he was posting a lot, and it seems like that type of play, if you want to get more people into Kendama, that you are getting the most views. Like, I was looking through your Instagram clips, and of course views isn't everything, but like it's interesting to see how many viral clips you have. And I think it's because you're bringing this aspect, like people can see that you're being creative and that you're really in the moment, versus like, fuck, I hate this fucking trick, just let me try to land it real quick, I missed it, fuck, okay, let's try again, boom, 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 oh, I got it, okay, turn off the camera, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that even though you're not, while watching a video, you're not there with the person recording the video, but the energy is...
Yeah, transferable.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So when I record freestyle, I'm like actually having such a fun time.
Yeah.
And I think people can see it. They're like, oh, cool. Like, what is this guy doing? Oh, shit. Like, he's like playing with a toy and like having fun.
Yeah. He's smiling.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, versus all my clips at the end of it, I throw the Kendama, or I'm just like, fuck, you know, I just like turn off the camera. Like, most of my clips are like that, you know, like, it's just the way that you play, you know?
But yeah. But yeah, no, I have a really good relationship with my algorithm. For sure.
Yeah, it's really, really cool. So how long have you been on Chrome?
I've been in Chrome for like 5 years now.
Okay. How'd you first get sponsored?
My first sponsor was actually Fortress Kendama.
Yeah.
Which was a handmade Kendama company, like hand turn in Italy company. So like really small batches.
Yeah.
And that was working pretty well in the first place. But then eventually the sponsorship I had was not the best.
Yeah.
And it was not ideal for me, because I really wanted to like go to every competition, and they were not much supportive, not because they didn't want to, they just like really couldn't like afford it. But eventually after a while, I was like, yeah, I like want to try to like get a better sponsorship, and Chrome has always been like probably the sickest one, because Bonds at that point was like really killing it. They were like winning all this like Gazelle prizes. I don't know if you saw, but they won like 5 times in a row. Like, the company was like really growing.
Yeah,
they were investing a lot in Kendama players and like releasing new products and shit, and I was like,
damn, this is so cool.
Yeah.
So I actually went to the European Kendama Open that was not called like this.
Yeah, European Kendama Championship?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Or like, EKO. European.
AKO, yeah.
Yeah.
European Kendama Open.
Okay, continue.
And I went to European Kendama Open, and even though I was sponsored by Fortress, I told them that I would try to get sponsored by Chrome. So I played Chrome, like I played with a Chrome Kendama instead of my real sponsorship. But the guys over in Italy, they knew it because they just felt like, yeah, this guy's like...
Yeah, he's ready. Yeah,
like he's ready to maybe go somewhere else. Eventually I played with the Chrome Kendama that I just bought at the event, and I had to go against Torkild and actually managed to beat him in freestyle. At that point, like, the crowd was like right there because it was probably like maybe quarterfinals. Yeah. And then the next one, it was me against Bonds. So like all the crowd was there because they wanted to see Bonds, and I was like, oh shit, like this is my good opportunity to show what I got. And eventually I played like really well, and as soon as I like walked down the stage, like all the Chrome team came and like told me, hey bro, like you did really good, like we would like to send you some products. And I was like, oh shit.
They really fucked with you then after they saw your performance. Was this in the Absalon Investor Bro? Was that that competition with Wyatt? Is this the year before?
That was in Romania, actually.
Oh, okay, okay. Yeah, AKO in Romania. Okay.
AKO in Romania. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And after that, they actually didn't really let me know anything for like a few months. Like, I received like a massive box of Kendama. It was probably like more than any boxes I ever received, maybe like 20 or 25 Kendamas.
Damn.
That was like a lot of Damas. And I was expecting them to be like, yeah, like we're giving you like maybe €1,000 worth of Kendama, like you're in. But they were like, yeah, okay, just keep it.
Just try it.
And I was like, okay, cool. Like, of course, I like I'm gonna sesh them hard and like record videos. So I started doing that, and then eventually they didn't really let me know anything for like a while.
Yeah.
And then, but it's because they were working on opening a new shop.
Oh, okay.
So they were all focused on like opening the new, open the new shop. And at some point it just came out with this shop opening event in Copenhagen. And I was like, yeah, I'm going there.
Yeah.
Like, I just need to go. And then it just like went, and they were like, oh shit, bro, like we did not expect you here, but that's so sick that you came over. And they were like really hyped, and then eventually I won freestyle at that competition.
Okay. What competition?
It was not really a competition, it was just like a shop opening.
Okay, at that jam, whatever, won that? Okay.
Yeah, but they still had like competitions, like open and freestyle.
Yeah.
And it was much more chill because it was in their new Chrome shop.
Yeah.
And I won freestyle right after. They were like, yeah, you're in. Like, you're sponsoring. You're Chrome now.
Yeah.
And since then, I've been like super, super hyped on every single Chrome Kendama project.
Yeah.
And I've always worked more and more and more in contact with the Chrome team and Torkild.
Yeah.
And then eventually 1 year ago, I had a period of time where I didn't really know what to do. So I was thinking, oh shit, like I would like to do something that I really love as for a living. Yeah. Like Kendama will be sick, but Kendama doesn't really, you know, give you opportunity to like make a living out of it. What can I do? What can I not? So I just like had the chillest like talk with Torkin, and was like, yes, just start selling Chrome Kendamas in Italy.
Oh.
And I was like, oh shit. Yeah, that's possible. Let's do it.
Okay.
So they sent me like a package. I think it was maybe I had to pay them like €700.
Yeah.
So it was worth 1,400.
Yeah.
Cause
you paid half wholesale. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So you probably bought what, like 100 kendamas or something?
Yeah. That was not a lot, not of kendamas. No, that was less than that.
It was like 50?
Yeah. It was probably like 70.
70.
Yeah. It was 70 kendamas. Because it's 10 for each, and I think I only got like pops.
Yeah.
For the first order. And in Rome, there is this Japanese market every month. So I was like, yeah, might as well just like try to go there and like set up a booth and sell them. So I contacted the guy. He was like, oh yeah, cool. Like Kendama sounds fun. Just like come over. And I told him that I would like let people try it for free and like kind of give them a cool experience and a good memory. So it was like super down, and he let me in. I had to pay like a few $100, but then the Kendamas were just like sold out in like one day.
One day?
Yeah. And the event was 2 days. So I had to go to an organizer and tell him, look, bro, I don't have any products to sell anymore. I didn't expect such a good success.
And like I just came back with like this whole cash and I was like, oh shit, damn, like this shit can work.
Yeah.
And since then I just like started selling candelabras in Italy.
So you're still doing that?
I'm still doing that. Yeah. Okay. And it's been my income, like my main income. Really? For the last year. Yeah. Okay. I've been living out of candelabras for the last year.
Wow. Okay, so I heard that, you know, when people were talking about conversations in the States about who is working full time candelabra, it was always been Bonds for a minute. That was in this warehouse with tutorials, and then I heard you, but you're not really doing anything for Crumb specifically. You're just wholesaling their kendamas.
Yeah.
And you are making good enough money to live.
Yeah, exactly.
That's awesome.
This is, yeah, it's really, really awesome.
Yeah. What's so besides the Japanese market, where do you sell kendamas, and are there certain places that you go to?
We have resellers in Italy too, in Rome. So they like, it's mainly skate shop and streetwear shops.
Yeah.
So I go talk with them and
tell them. Okay, they buy it from you.
Yeah. I mean, they buy from Crumb, but then I get some money out of every deal I got. But, and I actually, in the first place, I thought this one through the B2B, like, you know, wholesale would be like the main income, because it's much more opportunity. But for me to like get products from them like 50%, it's like a lot of money.
Yeah.
Like honestly, selling kendamas, it's so easy.
Yeah.
It's so much easier than like everybody could think.
Yeah.
Like if you just like go out there and like have kendamas to sell and like play kendama and make people try it, like people will buy it.
I know, and people, and even me as a company owner, I'm thinking of stuff that I can do. And then I go out and jam somewhere. Like, I forgot where exactly it was, but I was just playing and I was like, dude, the amount of people that are coming up to me and asking, like in a marketplace type environment, like if I just have a stock, I can sell them, you know?
Yeah. Of course you have to like find a good, you know, a good place or a good environment, because of course you don't want to be like in the streets selling.
Yeah, like in the subway selling next to like a person playing guitar.
Yeah, yeah. That's not ideal. But if you like find cool festivals related to, you know, having fun, or maybe, you know, there's a lot of like toys festivals, game festivals, Japanese markets.
Yeah.
Just pop-up markets or streetwear, you know, markets. There is a lot of them. And I'm not saying that should be like your, you know, I don't know. Like, for me, it's been so much more fun to do that rather than, like, going to a shop owner and talking and telling, like, hey, look, like, this is our company. Yeah. We do this and this, that. Like,
because you're playing kendama as you're selling them at a festival.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's much more fun because you actually get the chance to, like, interact with people, like, teaching them kendama, and then maybe getting them, like, you know, impressed by your tricks.
Yeah.
And then they'll be like, oh, my God, this is so cool. Like, I never thought you could do this many, like, tricks with it.
Yeah.
Because they just like try to put it on the cup and then they see you going like crazy and they're like, oh shit, okay, yeah, I want to become that good. Like, I'm going to get one in practice.
Yeah, if you buy one. Yeah, so they
Exactly. And with Crumb, it's like really easy because they have like, you know, the pop line, which works so well.
Yeah, because they're like cheaper. Yeah.
Yeah, they're like beginner, the cheaper, and the perfect. And I mean, you have some really blues. Cheap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what, one of the first things that we did, because I wanted to have some kind of series that is $20 to $25 that you can just buy, you know.
Exactly.
I think it's really important. That was inspiration that I got from Crumb. Yeah, with the pops, you know.
Yeah, the pop works.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course. So recently, a lot of people saw on social media that Crumb was going through some changes.
Yeah.
Especially regarding Torquil. Yeah. How has that been as a player sponsored by Crumb? Has it changed at all? Or what did you think about everything?
I mean, I had a pretty, you know, internal view of the situation changing.
Yeah.
And I don't think I really want to go into like specific details right now.
Of course, yeah.
But it's been tough for sure. The last few years have been tough because the market is changing and we haven't had the best time, as I think like other companies, because after post COVID has been really hard for everybody, I think, for like every company. And to be a company this big like Crumb was and like having so much money to, you know, invest, it's been hard for the last 2 years. But I think I'm really feeling good about how it's gonna turn, and you know, I'm really excited for the future, even though it's not been the best. And you know, Torquay, me and Torquay were like really, really close.
Yeah.
So it's probably gonna be different than before.
Yeah.
But I think it's gonna be really good.
I think that post was nice. I think it kind of brought a lot of hope in terms of Crom. Because even for me, Crom was one of the biggest inspirations for me playing personally, and for Lotus Kendamas of how they did everything.
Yeah.
But
I think honestly, like having such like a big companies in the Kendama community is like necessary.
Yeah.
Like we really need company that produces Kendama for people who don't play Kendama to get more people in and actually make the Kendama community grow.
Yeah.
So to lose Crom as a company for the Kendama community would be not good at all.
Especially for Europe.
For Europe, yeah.
Yeah, but also the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. To see how much Crom has gone around. Like, I was on a random website and seeing that they were in Japanese Vogue, like Japanese magazines, like Crom was in there. And the sponsorships they have in Japan, like, they're reaching every corner of the world, you know?
Yeah.
So if you love Kendama, you want Kendama to be around the world and for it to be spread everywhere and people to play in Kendama.
Yeah. And you also want to have, like, big.
Yeah.
You know, organization or company representing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Of course.
Yeah, and they're pushing it a lot. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So future is up.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward for it for sure.
Yeah, I want to go back to the freestyle thing. Mm-hmm. Was there like, I remember? So were you at Catch and Flow last year when Shinosuke won?
I did. I was there. Yes.
Okay. What did you think about some of the decisions, like specifically Takiya versus Shinosuke? Do you remember that? How I think it's regarded as one of like the biggest upsets and the biggest disappointments in Kendama judging from what I've heard, like talking to people. It was Nick that was like really, really surprised about. Do you remember exactly the run that Takiya had? I think it was versus either Yasu or Shinosuke. I forget who it was.
I mean, yeah. I think Takuya is like really like an open player.
Yeah, that's yeah.
So he will try to do like some really, 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 really hard tricks.
Yeah.
That it's like really hard to like hit them first try.
Yeah.
And if he will got it, then we'll just like stop and try another one.
Yeah. That's a really good definition of open in freestyle.
Yeah. So this is what I meant when I said that I can see in the future like straight up freestyle player just doing freestyle. Cause Takuya vision of freestyle, it's maybe a little different than what I would expect.
Yeah.
Which it's still crazy. Like he just full sends for like crazy trick. He knows he has 1 minute and in that minute he's just gonna put so many crazy as he tricks.
Can. Yeah.
But the chances to get them all right and get them in a flow, it's so low.
Yeah.
That for me it's much more, I mean, I don't know. It's just different.
Yeah.
I don't know where I want to go.
Were you as surprised as other people that Takuya lost that? Or were you saying, oh no, that seemed like it was fair?
I don't know. The only disappointment I had in the last Catch and Flow freestyle competition, it was honestly only Yasu losing in the finals, honestly. Because he played really, really well during the whole competition.
Yeah.
But then eventually, he just, like, at the final, he just, like, kind of forgot to play Kendama and he just, like, started dancing.
And he was just so excited he started moving.
He was just so excited that he just, like, danced the whole time and he forgot to, like, actually learn tricks. So I was, like,
So you're disappointed in his performance? Yeah,
like, yeah. Yeah. But he was still, like, he's just 12. Like,
yeah.
I could not imagine to like think about like how to divide the freestyle timing at only 12. Yeah. Like I didn't even play Kendama 12.
Yeah.
So for him to like understand where to dance or when to play Kendama, when to do technical stuff, I guess it's so hard.
I feel like he might have learned from that finals performance with his EKC performance because his finals was incredible. It was, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it had some like really cool like dances moment.
Yeah.
But not too much. Like they were not taking over the whole, you know, time.
Yeah.
Do you like that? Do you like bringing dance into Kendama?
Yeah, I think it's sick.
Yeah, it's very under that freestyle mindset that you have, you know?
Yeah.
Because you're really flowing and it kind of goes back to like a breakdance thing, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I think it's good to like put into freestyle runs all the skills that you might have in not related to Kendama. Like he's really good at dancing.
Yeah.
So why not put some dance in it?
And you had football into your
Kendama. Yeah.
I was about to say soccer and I caught myself.
Yeah.
In Copenhagen, I've been yelled at multiple times by saying soccer.
But yeah, I was not really, like, I've never been, like, a football player.
Okay.
Actually.
Okay.
I actually, but after like, I started, like, kicking my, like, you know, my tama and, like, using my knee to, like, bounce it, eventually I got, like, really good at football too. Like, I can play so much better than before.
Yeah.
But, but I mean, yeah, no, freestyle, you know, Yasu's freestyle and dances, it's so cool together. It just works so well together.
Yeah.
Yeah. But going back to Catch and Flow, I think they honestly did, like the judges really did a good job, honestly. None of the runs were like, I don't know. I can't quite remember that specific one between Takuya, but... I think the judges really did a good job, and the way they judge Catch and Flow, it's so good.
You think
like
so?
Having five judges with like different categories, that really, really...
Yeah, and I feel like those sets of judges are looking, just based on their decisions in the past, they probably are looking more for a freestyle type run. They value that more than a open trick.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I can see why you like that.
Yeah, I love that, because then you actually, the five judges actually judge what freestyle is made out of.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, flow, variety, combo, overall, and...
creativity.
And creativity.
Yeah.
That is, like, freestyle.
Yeah.
So to have, like, all of the 5 points make a good freestyle run.
Yeah.
So it just makes sense to me to, like, have those judges.
Right.
Yeah. So I'll probably, like, I don't know, probably do that at AKC too.
Yeah.
I think it's a really, really good judging format.
You want
them
to do that? Yeah. You want to? Yeah.
I mean, judging this good, this year at AKC, judges did a really good job too, I think.
Okay. Yeah. Because they can still have that mindset, kind of. They can still value combo over difficulty.
Yeah, but the thing is that it's maybe a less deep.
Yeah.
It's a little bit less deep than at Catch and Flow.
Yeah.
Because the three judges are like just overall judge.
Yeah.
So they have to remember everything.
Yeah.
I think it will make the job a little easier if they were like five and judging, you know, one specific thing.
Yeah.
Like over, like who did more variety tricks.
Yeah.
And they will just be like, yeah, it's him.
Gotcha.
Or, you know, overall, I don't know.
Yeah.
I think Freestyle judge at Catch and Flow is like the best format.
Yeah. What do you think of Wyatt Bray's freestyle runs? I feel like he's maybe in combination between the two, but I feel like I see Wyatt do a lot of the same tricks. He kind of flows between them, but also it's kind of trick.
Yeah. I mean, he is so good.
Yeah. And like, he's been a top freestyle player for a long time too.
Wyatt Bray has been on the highest level for a while now. It's crazy. But after seeing him in like a lot of different competitions, I can definitely say his style is a little bit repetitive.
Yeah.
But still all the tricks he does are like really, really, really impressive.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I think that's just like his style. And I think he's still like every competition is still doing better and better, but it's like pretty much always on the same style.
Yeah.
Like he wouldn't add like, you know, like a concept, like a really new concept to it.
Yeah.
But I don't know. But maybe he is doing it. I think he will start with like some like
crazy trip monster goon. Triple goon, and then goes to lighthouse, and then you can go for like some UFO down spike and then tap UFO, which nobody can do.
Yeah,
like he's the only goon, one
yeah.
do it.
Yeah.
Like if I was him, I would probably do the same. Yeah, I'd be like, yeah, fuck that. Like nobody can do that. I'm just gonna be the one doing it.
Yeah,
and the tricks are like still insane, but it's still really entertaining to see him. But I think watching like Yasuo is much more entertaining because he actually puts so much in his fronts.
Yeah.
But even Yasuo has been kind of repetitive sometimes. Like at Catch and Flow, he has been much more repetitive than at AKC. At AKC, he was actually doing a lot of...
He does do a lot of trip jug spikes.
Yeah.
And even at AKC, he was like, okay, yeah, he's going to hit that again.
Yeah.
But then it was so nice to see him throw in the six tap to handle or something new, which was absolutely insane. If he do that a million times, it'd still be impressive.
Yeah.
But I think, I guess it's difficult because it's like, it's already really impressive to do a full, really cool, good freestyle run without missing much. But then also to change it up each round is so difficult.
Yeah.
But I remember when he would change certain concepts up, the crowd was really into that because they didn't see that, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think having a bag full of different tricks is like really, really important for freestyle.
Yeah.
Because if you only practice like a few concepts, then if you move into like, if you move on and like go to the next round, you like need to have more tricks in your bag.
Yeah.
To like show. Because judges really don't want to see all like the same tricks, and like either the crowd wants to see the same tricks, right? Yeah. So it's really important to have a background of like a lot of tricks in the bag for sure.
Do you do anything specific to practice consistency? Because again, with people, the majority of players practicing open style for Instagram, they don't need to be consistent. So do you do anything specifically to really try to be consistent on a certain concept or trick?
Not anymore right now. But in the past, I was grinding a lot of like different concepts.
Yeah.
And eventually I got really into some of them.
Yeah.
So I would say my 8 years of Kendama, it's what made me consistent in like different tricks. Cause I would like, you know, discover Inward Lunar and like be really like focused into it.
Yeah.
And then Border Balance, and I would like go really deep. And then Guzzlinger, and I would like do them a lot too.
Yeah.
So at the end, when I had like a big bag of kendama trick that I could like do, then going into freestyle was much easier.
Yeah.
Cause yeah.
When you're practicing for a freestyle run, like you post on an Instagram, will you like have certain order of tricks in mind? Cause that kind of feels like you're kind of stepping away from freestyle and creativity, and you're kind of going into more, but I feel like at some point, if you really want to practice being consistent, you kind of need to think, okay, this is, I'm going to do this trick, this trick, this trick, to this trick, and kind of still have the freestyle element, but kind of have like a really good direction of where you want to go.
Mm-hmm. Like, sometimes I do.
Yeah.
Like, I'll have like maybe one trick in mind.
Yeah.
That I'm like, oh yeah, I want to do this like lighthouse pressure thing. Okay. To Inward Lunar. I don't know. But most of the time, I just like flow and see where it brings me.
Okay.
So I'm just like, yeah, I'm gonna start with this one. Or at freestyle competition, sometime I have in mind how to start the next trick.
Okay.
Like if I miss this, I'm gonna start with this one.
Oh. Okay.
This is something I do more.
Yeah.
But then eventually, as soon as I start, I just do freestyle, so I don't really have anything in mind, and I just like do tricks.
So your personal performance, when you're preparing for something like that, I feel like from my experience doing a freestyle, it's hard to get into it. If I miss the first few, I'm really down. Do you have recommendations for people practicing freestyle to have a good freestyle run?
Yeah, absolutely. Just start playing freestyle. Like, even though it sounds weird, just like put some good tunes and like connect with your kendama and start with like easy tricks.
Yeah.
Like, I'm talking about like really, really basic tricks.
Yeah.
That will go like, like if I have to start right now, I'll probably go for like, you know, around the Europe, world. Around the world, and then airplane to lighthouse, and then Inward Lunar, and then spike, and from there we'll just go for a juggle,
to light us inside. I don't know. There's so many easy yeah. tricks that people can do.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I think going for much harder tricks can be so frustrating and like sometimes not even productive. Because also, you know, practice, like, you know, redoing tricks that you already have in your bag,
yeah,
it's so important, like, not to forget them. Like, always going for a trick that you've never done and it's like so much higher than your level. I don't know. I think sometimes it's not even that productive anymore. I really suggest to like start easy with kendama, like start easy with freestyle runs and do tricks you have in mind and you can do, and then eventually like connect them to new generation trick or tricks you're grinding outside of freestyle. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, it definitely does.
So I think starting easy and then, you know, as soon as you get a few spikes, just, you know, pulling up the standard, like, you know, how do you say it? Like going a little harder.
Pushing your standard.
Yeah, push up the standards a little bit and like go harder and harder. I think that's a good way of doing it.
Yeah. What personal goals do you have? Do you feel like you really want to grind for competition and for Catch and Flow? Do you want to be a Catch and Flow winner?
No, my goal with kendama is not to be like world champion.
Yeah.
Even though I put a like way too much pressure on myself while competing, I put so much pressure on myself when it comes to competition. But my goal for me, like right now, my life goal and kendama goal is just to like live with kendama, really.
Yeah.
Like just make kendama my life and like be able to make money out of it and travel and meet with people and like, you know, getting interviewed. Why not? Like so sick.
Sure.
Or like just going to events and shred and promote kendama.
Yeah.
And also play freestyle.
Yeah.
And, you know, having fun and work with kendama.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
But you do like enjoy winning and you do get excited for competitions.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Going to competition is so like it's the best fun for me.
Yeah.
For sure. But, you know, it's weird because I think something clicked at my last Catch and Flow, which was 1 year ago. Because before going to that competition, I like practiced a lot of kendama, like 2 hours a day of freestyle. And afterwards, I felt really, really ready to go there. Yeah. And when I was there, I was like, yes, like this is the one. And I actually did really well. Like so much better than I would expect.
Okay.
I got like fifth.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I qualified fifth and then I got into the top 16 as a fifth. And then I actually won the first round against Nobu too, so I got into the top 8 too and I was like really feeling it. And even my last round, which was against Yasu, I think I did play really, really well.
Should we watch those? Can we watch those right now and do a live reaction?
Do we have them?
Yeah, I can throw them. I mean, I think we can find them. Let's try.
But yeah, but I think they're not there.
Oh,
I don't know. I think the one against Yasu is there, but it's the one I lost. The one against Nobu is not on the internet. Or at least I couldn't find it.
That would be a catch and throw. Yeah,
that's you.
This is the one I lost. You gonna watch that or no? Did you land some tricks?
Hmm?
Did you land some tricks? Were you happy with your performance?
Yeah. But maybe I wouldn't show it, I don't know. Oh, maybe we can. Yeah. If you want to.
I think people would be interested in it, we can talk about certain concepts and certain tricks that you go for.
But I think my qualifying run was the best, for sure.
And we can't find that anywhere?
No, I have it.
Can we throw it up on here?
Yeah.
Can you adjust it?
Yeah.
Alright, let's watch this one first and then.
Yeah, sure.
Alright, starting in 3, 2, 1.
I was having such a fun time. But of course, playing against Yasu is so stressful.
So your mindset is just kind of getting into the moment, or you're like, okay, I need to do these certain tricks?
I don't know.
No hold still, lighthouse, back no hold still, lunar spike. There you go. Yeah. Dude, really good.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like at this moment,
you can either bring it or you can kind of choke. And you seem to be bringing it, you know?
Yeah, dude, nice.
Nice.
Oh.
Dude, I'm getting stressed.
I love your flow, dude. Yeah, this isn't like, yeah, dude.
Yeah, this is not that bad. But my, yeah. But look at him.
The Red Devil.
No, but honestly, I think he did the best trick of this competition.
Yeah.
It's not this round, it's the next one. I mean, what
imagine.
Did you do? And he also has like this hoodie covering like half of his face.
He has like one eye open.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you see?
Yeah. It's so cool that you danced with
him.
Yeah,
that was cool. He just like came in front of me and started dancing. And I was like, yeah, sure. I might as well dance with him.
Pop, 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 pop. Yeah, it's so crazy.
He doesn't miss.
He doesn't, no. Yeah.
You wanted to
like, even if he brings it back, I feel like the tablet could be anywhere and he still is able to
down spike it.
My palms are sweaty.
Bro, mine's are.
It's so funny.
I really didn't know what to do here. Holy shit. Triple.
Nice, dude.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Dude, 100% so far. So sick!
Shit, I did not remember that one.
Yeah, this is still a decision. You know, it's not like...
Rundy's run.
Yeah, first trip was good. No, I should probably run. Pass that one. Or should have passed it like 5 months ago.
It's so hard to miss and then to look up again, you know?
Come on, Davide, you got it. Ah, fuck.
Dude.
Okay, it was a good beginning though.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he's gonna...
He's gonna do some crazy
like,
shit right now.
He's gonna do the craziest shit ever, bro. Like, this run was insane.
Pop. Triple inward. Lighthouse. Another...
Insta. Late. Tap.
Like, his misses are just so casual. That is so cool. Oh, that would be so cool.
Yeah.
Bro. He spiked that?
Yeah, he got that one.
What the crazy. Fuck?
But I think this is his best trick.
Yeah.
That was insane.
Yeah. Yeah. So... He just combines incredible like juggling tech to freestyle.
Yeah.
Nogu.
Yeah.
That's crazy, man.
But I think my qualify was better.
Is that on YouTube?
Oh wait, but I think actually got one vote.
Okay, variety. Yeah.
But it makes sense. It kinda like repeated a little bit, but still he's such a beast, oh my god.
Yeah, you're qualifying. Do you have it on your phone or do you...
Yeah, but we can also find it... Wait, do you have Instagram access here?
Yeah.
Yeah, I posted this. But I cut some parts. You still want to check it out?
Yeah.
Okay, sick. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this one.
All right, 3. Let's pause it just so I can. Just so I can line it up because I'm gonna throw it in the interview.
Hmm.
I'm gonna like put it in the actual YouTube video that we do. 3, 2, 1.
Okay.
Right. So this is your qualifying to get into top 16.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So did you have this part, like, okay, I want to do this, or do you really just like, okay, like, what's your, I guess we'll talk about it after. Yeah, the finger is so nice. Because you're expecting the lighthouse, you know?
So yeah.
It's like another element. Yeah, the blow. Spikes. You got fifth. That's amazing, man.
Hmm?
It's awesome you got fifth. That's like huge.
Yeah.
These are the best freestyles in the world, you know? Yeah. Oh, it's a spike. Damn, that's sick. That's really cool.
Yeah. That was really fun. But you see how, like, I started really, really easy with some, like, rounds, and then eventually got into the zone and started going a little harder to, like, the end where you really want to get, like, the last spike. Like,
yeah.
Really one good last trick
yeah.
to finish your run.
So do you have that whole routine memorized? Or how do you prepare for a catch and flow?
I just practice freestyle.
Yeah.
Like, I just, like, put some good music on and, you know... just play and have fun with it and like really feel connected to my kendama
yeah.
and understand what trick I'm feeling in that moment. But also, as I said, I will have trick in mind that I could like start again
yeah.
with.
Like you still like with the, okay. So.
So like, I know if I miss, I can go for like maybe a double top juggle, maybe knee bounce. And then from there, I will just like figure that out like later
yeah.
on.
So I just wondering what's just like, okay, I'm just going to flow, and what's a little bit like prepared in your mind, you know? So in prepared in your mind, when you're going on, you're like, okay, like you memorize like, okay, if I do miss, I'm going to go for this certain trick, you know?
Yeah.
Or is that even come natural just because of how much you've practiced?
I think it's a little bit of both.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a little bit of both because I know I have a lot of tricks that I can do in my bag. And it's really important to like remember them.
Yeah.
Like the only limit is just like to know, it's really important to know your limit and also like remember what trick you can do and like what tricks you can do first try and what trick you have and you can, you know, put them together.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, if you're down, I can like maybe practice some freestyle right now.
Yeah, I'm super down.
Okay.
Let's do it.
I don't know. I think you just go for a few runs.
Yeah.
And I think it's like good the beginning of practicing.
Alright. Let's go.
Your movements are really big and slow, you know? Is that purposeful or have you always played like that?
I think that's just the style I developed
yeah.
after practicing. But those were not like, you know, good, really good runs because it's just like 11 in the morning.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I told you it's kind of like, for me, it's about how you do a trick.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's all good.
Can you maybe do the question again?
Yeah, no, you answer. Yeah. It's the way that you play.
Yeah. Like,
sorry. I guess I think when you have the mindset of freestyle, I mean, Bonds is very similar to that, you know, where it's like a slow, controlled type movement rather than grinding for a certain trick and do, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
I think going slow really helps, especially in the beginning.
Yeah.
Where you like need to start and like vibe with it.
Yeah.
And then eventually you can, yeah, I mean, I do some like maybe also fast tricks like yeah. taps or
yeah.
or instas. But I think it's really important to like get in the flow in like a slow yeah. way. So yeah. you have much more time to actually control the
yeah.
trick.
Yeah.
And eventually also have more time to think about what you can do next
yeah.
after the trick you just did.
Yeah.
If you do it like really fast, late, that you can't. Then you can't really just like
yeah.
flow with it.
Yeah. I noticed the string got in the way. Do you do anything specific? Like, and of course it's getting in the way for everybody, but to be consistent, it's really hard because usually you can't be consistent because the string will wrap up somehow and that's not really controlled. It just kind of happens. Do you put a lot of thought into string control?
Yeah, definitely like really small motion can yeah. like fix it a little bit.
Yeah.
Like if you will be like maybe around like this, I'll probably go for like some, you know, barrel and try to like make it.
Oh, so your trick would try to fix it.
Yeah.
yeah,
I mean, I think you can't really like untight it when you do like really fast and technical tricks.
Yeah.
But there is like a lot of tricks that I use to like connect
yeah.
two different tricks.
Yeah.
And those are like the one where you need to make sure before you start a new concept or a new banger, the string is like untight.
So what kind of tricks do you do to connect two different concepts?
Like maybe like... So I just like pass it through like different cups.
Yeah.
And then I can't really think right now, but I think like changing grips
yeah.
is like the main one.
Yeah.
So I'll probably go from here. And then if I add a down spike, maybe like go different. And if I see it's like this, I'll probably go for like, I don't know, like
yeah.
the orbit to have it like untied again.
Yeah.
So yes. there is like a lot of them. I think like the main trick of a line is something that you can really have a name for it.
Mm.
Like maybe instas or taps or juggle lates or pressure stuff.
Yeah.
But then when you land it, you kind of want to also either, when you're in a competition, you kind of want to like maybe stop it as soon as you land it and like celebrate a little bit and
yeah.
get some, the crowd hyped. Or you can just like flow and before going into like a next like really hard trick, just like kind of take it easier
yeah.
and slow down, and then as soon as you got it again, like do another hard
yeah,
one.
Yeah, cool.
I think that's really helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was I gonna ask you?
But yeah, with this interview, I also wanna like maybe stimulate and encourage people to like play more freestyle
yeah.
in their room. Cause it's been really, really fun for me to do that. And I think if it's been fun for me, it can be fun for like any other Kendama player.
Yeah.
And it's also like a new challenge and a new way of playing that if you've never tried, you definitely should do it at home. Cause you know, it's always good to get better at Kendama in different ways. And if you've never tried to do freestyle, I'd definitely like encourage you to, you know, just get out there and like have fun with it without grinding like really hard trick. Just kind of, you know, reconnect with it and start easy and go for something that you can do and
yeah.
you know you can, instead of going for something so much harder that you maybe have never even tried, or some combos that combine tricks
yeah.
that you already barely can do.
Yeah.
So it's I don't know, I feel like most of the people playing Kendama right now, it's just they want to show how good they are by doing tricks that are like really, really hard.
Yeah.
But I think freestyle is like the opposite. Like, yeah, you know your limits and you know what you can do, and you just like try to like combine the two things and like get tricks together in a way that just like flows and makes sense together.
Do you watch a lot of, there's a beautiful place to end it, but I do want to ask one more question. Do you watch a lot of Kendama on YouTube? Like, do you watch old freestyle runs, old edits, stuff like that?
Yeah.
You do? Do you have like a personal favorite video or freestyle run that you kind of go back to and watch?
I mean, it's been Bonds, pretty much.
Yeah.
It's been Bonds since AKC Natsuyasu.
Yeah.
But general, like, old style,
yeah,
it's something that I really take inspiration from, because new generation tricks, I have, like, really hard time doing them.
Yeah.
Like, I really have a hard time doing, like, new generation tricks, but with old style kendamas, I can really get inspiration from it, because they, I mean, for the standards of now, it's so much easier, but I think there's still so much potential and concept that you can develop by taking inspiration from like older generation tricks.
Yeah.
So I definitely do that too, and like watch, you know, I watch Catch and Flow old runs, or just Kenko edits, or like people that still play now and like are now pros old edits.
Yeah. So, one video that we should watch that is one of your personal favorites?
Huh.
Maybe a freestyle run or an edit. Is there like a certain Bonds freestyle run that comes to your mind?
Yeah, I mean, of course, for me the 2017 Catch a Flow Bonds, like Tokyo Trip, and like Chrome Tokyo Trip 2017 Catch and Flow, that was like really, really legendary.
Yeah.
But otherwise, there is. But that's the thing. We have like a hole here.
Yeah.
Freestyle edits.
Yeah.
Where are they?
Yeah. A full edit where it's just freestyling.
Yeah. We need that more.
Yeah.
Because that's so cool.
I think one person that comes to mind that I don't know if he's ever talked to you, but the way that he plays really is his own level of freestyle is Kitano. Kitano. He went to NACO last year. He's like a dark-haired dude, but I want to...
From the US?
Yeah. I want to give him a shout-out because the way that he plays Kendama is super flowy, freestyle-y. He's very creative, but then he also is pretty technical with like the new gen tricks. I'll show him to you. I'm sure you've seen him.
Okay.
But I'll give him a shout-out because I think he's on his own level. He's on his own
level.
So.
That is really cool. Yeah, I'd love to check him out for sure. I also want to shout out Soma.
Yeah, there's Soma? Yeah.
Soma is so cool. Yeah. I think with him, I have like the best Kendama session and freestyle practices.
With Soma?
Yes, because he's just, like, as we could see at AKC, he was not going for like hard tricks.
No.
Like, he didn't land any hard tricks.
Yeah. But he got second place.
And that's the proof that it doesn't really matter how hard the tricks you do are, but like it's more about how you do them and like how you flow with them and how you go into like certain like, you know, lines and pathways.
It's a perfect example of there's two examples from him. One, you can have a lot of fun with Kendama, you don't have to grind and sweat, and you can do really well in performance. And then two, to do super well in a competition, if that's your motivation and everyone likes to win, you don't have to do a four tap. You don't have to do a new gen trick. You can just come up with your own easier freestyle runs, spike, and you can get second place at EKC.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That is correct.
All right. Well, thanks, Davide, for coming on. It was a really good talk about freestyle. I really enjoyed it, man.
Dude, I enjoyed it too. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, no problem, bro. All right, peace.
Peace out.